Chapter 1 of the communication between the D.C. Nichols and...
D.C.?
And the Poland... Oh. And the, all right. And
the, not the D.S.'s.
No, the D.C. Nichols.
Oh, Bethesda Nichols, all right.
And the Poland Nichols. And it's January, Sunday, January 5th, 1975. And that's a red letter day because we... Are you ready for this, Mom? We went to church this morning.
For the second time since we've been here. First time was with you at the National Cathedral.
And this was the second time. And we went to the Cedar Lane Unitarian Church, which is about 10 minutes from the house. And Dave called this morning, and service was 11:15, and I knew it was about 10 minutes away. So we figured we'd leave at 10 minutes to 11, and I was ready by 5 minutes to 11.
Well, you don't mean I called 10 minutes before the service.
No.
You mean that you found it was only... take us 10 minutes to drive over there. I called about 9:30.
Because I knew where it was, but you can't see the church from the street. I'd only seen the sign because it's back in the woods, and I can't say it's exactly like the Poland Methodist Church, but the windows are not stained glass windows. You can see through them outside, and it's in the middle of a woods, and you can see all the trees outside.
Well, it's a very contemporary building. It's not the conventional... traditional Methodist Presbyterian type church. It's sort of a sprawling, very contemporary, down around a driveway that goes among the woods, and then up on a hill away from the church is the parsonage, a very contemporary ranch type home in a nice wooded setting, stuck in Bethesda.
But the people were not far out kind of people. They looked like ordinary, everyday kind of people. They were not the
Youngstown Unitarians.
Right, they weren't seedy. They were all kinds of people, and it was quite crowded. It was very well attended. And today was Layman Sunday, which they have once a month, where a committee of the members of the church put together the service. And this was a requested service, and miraculous to relate, the Prelude, what is that? Yeah, Prelude, was a medley of Methodist hymns.
Rock of Ages, Bringing in the Sheaves, Open Mine Eyes, Count Your Many Blessings.
Right. And we enjoyed the service, and people were very friendly, although we did not stay for coffee because that wasn't part of our program for the day. We had decided that during this winter we'll take advantage of the city we live in and get acquainted with
all the institutions, Smithsonian, the new Hirshhorn Museum, anything that's downtown that we should go and see that we say we're going to go see but never get there because you're lazy around all day Sunday and get nothing done.
So we made a New Year's resolution, which was to go to church and then go to lunch and then go downtown and see the things that there are to see. But we didn't do too well today. The church service was the high point of the day, and from there it went downhill.
Well, we went to the club for lunch, and the service is lousy. It's no Youngstown Country Club or downtown Youngstown Club. But it was food, and we weren't that hungry, so it was fine.
It was kind of funny, though, because the table next to us, they kept asking for spoons, and the spoons were not forthcoming. And just before their ice cream melted into soup, the gentleman at the table got up and got himself a couple of spoons from an empty table nearby, and there were no complaints, though. There was no...
It was a coincidence, though. We overheard some conversation, and they were talking about, finally, the fellow said, Youngstown, Ohio, after saying something about Canton, Ohio. And then I heard him say, and they were classmates at Rayon High School in Youngstown, but I didn't pick up enough of the conversation or hear any Youngstown names that I could relate to. But, so we had lunch there, and it's been a beautiful day here, sunny and bright, and sky was real blue, about 50 degrees. So we left the club and found our way downtown. We wanted to see the new Hirshhorn Museum, and got down...
So did about a half a million other people.
Yeah. So we got there all right, but there was no place to park because they're now chewing up the mall, doing something new with it, which will eliminate a lot of parking, but people were parked all over the place, pouring in and out of the Smithsonian and the Hirshhorn, and finally, we decided this wasn't our Sunday downtown, so we came home, got home about 3:30, and took Sam for a walk through to Muldry.
And we decided that for the next few Sundays, we'll go to church maybe, but we'll skip the Kenwood Country Club, and we'll go from church straight downtown, and maybe we'll be able to find a parking place.
By the time we're down there, maybe we'll be hungry, and anything we eat we might enjoy instead of just stuffing it down because it's lunchtime.
But Dave has a new toy, and I think you might be interested in hearing about that.
Well, Murray got a recorder, so I decided I needed one, and yesterday got a new recorder. It's a little more complicated. It plays records, it plays stereo FM, it plays tapes, and the thing I like about it is that I can make my own 8-track stereo tapes that I can use downstairs in the large console stereo, or I can use the tapes in the car like I have the kind that I buy. So I rationalize by saying that, look at all the money I'm going to save, and instead of buying tapes, I'll just make my own. So I've had a lot of fun with it. I put together a tape last night of different big band songs from different records, and then tonight I had bought a tape in Columbus that is the Scott Joplin tape, a record that we had, and I wanted a tape for the car so we could listen to it coming back from Youngstown.
You remember the one we ruined that we tried to play for you in the car that didn't work?
Well, I made another one of those tonight, and it works.
We had the record at home, so he was able to make the tape from the record.
So that's what else we've been doing since we got home from Youngstown, other than I had a flare-up in my back. I guess it was Thursday, day after New Year's, and didn't know what was going on. I could hardly stand up or sit down, and the only comfort I had was when I was flat in my back. So went to see my friendly doctor, and he thought maybe I was trying to pass a kidney stone and gave me some pills for that. I've decided that hasn't had anything to do with it. And thought maybe I had a hernia or something, and he checked that. No, there's no problem there, and I just find that I guess my lower back, I had kicked it out a little bit because I was lifting our live Christmas tree around, getting it out of the house, and I had thrown it out a little bit when I went to buy the Christmas tree a couple of weeks ago and noticed it then, and it's bothered me a little bit, but really got to me last Thursday. But it's a lot better now, and I except for early in the morning, haven't had
it. He doesn't notice it while he's playing with his new toy upstairs, his recording machine. It seems to make
that's
it better.
Not fair. It was only after a couple of Excedrin or something it started to feel better. But no, it's coming along all right.
We had a party New Year's Eve and had Joan and Lee Smith. Joan Smith is the gal who sold us the house, who is a friend of Sue Lockhart, who's our friend from the Youngstown Playhouse. And
Joan's originally from Youngstown. It was her father that owned Moore's Tavern downtown. I think you remember Moore's Tavern, not that you were ever in it, but it was sort of a landmark in downtown Youngstown for years, and of course she sold us the house, and her husband Lee is a senior captain for United Airlines, and we've been together with them, went sailing, you remember, 4th of July, and get together with them from time to time.
And then Joanne Craddock and her husband, she works with Adventure Theater, and another gal who is going to be helping me at Adventure Theater, so that we're the eight of us, and we played Bonanza. And had a good time New Year's Eve, and then we didn't have such a good time New Year's Day because Ohio State didn't do so well.
Well, I made a bet with Lee Smith the night before that Ohio State would take USC without any trouble, and we had a $5 bet on that. And of course, right after USC got ahead of us in the first quarter, I got a phone call, and Lee said, "Well, I see your $5 bill is floating toward my house." Then I had to call him after the game was over, and I'm framing that $5 bill to send to him. And in the meantime, my next door neighbor is from California, and they were down in Florida on their way back, and were in Jacksonville at a Holiday Inn. He was watching the game, and so the phone rang again shortly after I talked with Lee Smith, and it was Roy next door calling from Jacksonville to tell me how sorry he was that my team lost again and how happy he was that his California team won. So I got the needle both ways, called Tom in Columbus, and kind of commiserated with him. Yeah, well, they did try to get through to Tom, but all the lines into Columbus were busy for about 15 minutes. I guess everybody calling all their friends in Columbus with condolences.
We certainly enjoyed our visit in Youngstown and Newcastle and Poland. We'll send this on to you and let you add your comments and send it back to us, and we'll keep it going back and forth.
Yeah, and tell Gail that we're sorry we missed her, but maybe
sure are.
Sometime she can come this way. And I hope that in the spring you'll get a fire built under Betty and Dunk so that you can come and spend some time with us when all of the flowers and so forth in bloom. I think Betty would really enjoy that as well as Dunk, and of course you would too.
And if this beautiful weather holds, maybe you can do it before Gail goes back to California. That would be great. We're going to take Aunt Ruth on Friday to see Camelot at our Harlequin Dinner Theater. We're looking forward to that. And we'd love to have you anytime you want to come.
So we'll talk at you later, and you take this tape and send something back. Tell us what's going on with the family and how everything is at home.
Okay. Bye.
See ya.
Hi there. This is Poland to Maryland newsletter, coming to you on a lovely snowy evening after the Super Pittsburgh Steeler Day. How about that game? Wasn't that something? I thought they were going to lose it in that last quarter. But then I'm wondering, maybe you went to church and then went sightseeing again this Sunday and didn't go home for the game. If so, I hope you had better luck than last week. And what kind of a day did you have down there? It was cloudy all day till about 5 o'clock here, and then it began snowing, and it's beautiful out. So I have to forgive all these stops and starts, but this is new to me, and I feel like I'm broadcasting on TV or something. I seem kind of nervous about it, but I guess I'll get used to the idea. Anyway, how's your back problem, Dave? I hope it's better, and I'm just advising you, you're not supposed to be lifting trees around and things like that, anything that heavy. Now be careful, will you, please? How was Camelot? I bet you enjoyed that, and I know Aunt Ruth would. I'm glad you get to see her once in a while. I had a letter from Ruth this week, and she said she had the flu, I guess, on New Year's Day. She said the longer the day went, the sicker she got. And then the next day she was supposed to sell a house, whatever they call it, and so I hope she made it all right. She's bought herself a townhouse as an investment, and she says she thinks she'll rent it. She said she hit the $1 million club, I guess they call it, the day before New Year's, so she's happy about that. John goes, I think, this next weekend. He goes to Philadelphia. And she said she was getting new locks put on all the doors, so I guess she's a little nervous being without him around. Well, let's see, what else is new around here? I'll give you a resume of my week. How would that be? I really had a busy week. Gail being around, Monday morning, she and Betty came up and took me to the laundromat with all my all my sheets and towels and things from the holidays. And we got those done in short order. And then we went to the L&K for lunch. And so they've been bugging me to go get a coat. Everybody seems to think I ought to go get a coat, I guess because I talked about it quite a bit. So they took me out to the mall, and the first coat I put on, they put on me, I mean, why, they insisted I buy it. And I did. And it's a beautiful blue, kind of a slate blue. And guess what? It has a real, well, it says natural mink collar on it. And I didn't want one with fur on. I wanted a very plain coat, and this is altogether different. It has beautiful buttons. They're like they're crocheted or something like that. And it's heavier than I wanted, and I've been complaining about it ever since that I got it. But I guess I'm stuck with it now. But it is a beautiful coat, but not on me. But anyway, that was Monday afternoon. Monday evening, Gail and Betty and Jan and the baby came up and took my Christmas tree down, cleaned the room up for me, and oh, that night I thought, what a day I've had. I got about 3 days' work, just more than that for me, done in one day. Then Tuesday, Betty had to work, so I called Gail and about noon. I went over to church in the morning, and the study group were having on Jonah. And then when I came home, I called Gail, and so we took the baby and went over to Newcastle and found that Deb wasn't home. Now that Barbie's in school, I guess she's slip out any time she wants to. And here she told us afterwards that she was over in Youngstown while we were over there trying to find her. So we drove all around the Amish country. Gail likes to see the Amish, and we drove around to Wilmington and bought some apples and some cider, and we came back, and Betty wasn't home yet, so we thought she'd been wanting to see the Youngstown University grounds, all the new buildings. Went up there and drove all around there and stopped at a frozen custard and got Kevin some banana ice cream, and boy, did he love it. He smacked his lips and calling for more, and he ate more than I thought he should, but he enjoyed it. So he came home, Betty was home then, and so I guess he stayed there. I came on home, but he stayed there for quite a while. And Tuesday night, in August, we didn't do anything Tuesday night. Wednesday, I filled in at the 500 Club again. I played Canasta, though. And Wednesday night, would I do something? Thursday morning, Gail took Marty and George to the Cleveland Airport. The company George works for took a lot of their people down, a whole plane load. Gail said they reserved a great big plane with a upper deck. I don't know what kind it was, but they took them down to the game today, the Super Bowl game. They went down Thursday, and then they're coming back tomorrow night. They'll be back. So she had to take them up to the airport. And so when she got back, we went to, it was Betty's birthday, so we had planned to go somewhere for lunch. So we went down to the Beaver Valley Mall, down almost to the airport, the first airport, I suppose you've seen it. And we had our lunch at Gimbel's and shopped around a little while, came on home. And Friday, I guess that was hair day to get my hair done, and grocery shopping. I took Rachel to the doctor, and then we had stopped at the pancake house for fish that night. And then later on in the evening, Betty and Dan and the baby came along. We went out to Catherine. She's home from the hospital now and doing pretty good, really much better than I expected. She looks better every day. We were at the hospital here one night, I guess that was about Monday or Tuesday night, and so she looks a lot better than she did that night. So I think she's going to be all right. She's taking care of herself now. And they found everything was okay, so she's happy about that. Then that was what? Thursday night? Friday? No. Yesterday? We had a terrific wind, and Gary came up and cleaned my raked all the little twigs and everything from that wet snow we had. And so the yard looks pretty good now. And I guess that brings me up to today. Did you know that Duncan's, I don't remember whether we talked about it, that Duncan's are building a new house? We might have talked about it, I don't remember. But what I was surprised to hear, it was way out by Pine Lake. Betty talked to Marion the other day, and she said that she just couldn't stand the neighbors around. They had so many children, and there was white trash across the street. I was very surprised that she'd talk that way, but she said the children play in the street, and that makes her nervous, and so she's just going to get way out where she was all to herself. And Catherine said it really is way out. It seems to be, I think, on 4 acres, so I don't know. I'm just wondering how she'll like it. Mary, did you know a Joanne Coughlin, C-O-U-G-H-L-I-N, young girl? She lived on a High Avenue, and it says active in Youngstown Playhouse, disappeared on the 27th of December. It said she was last seen at the European Health Spa, Ford McCanfield Road. She was a Youngstown University student and had appeared in several Playhouse and Trumbull New Theater productions. Said she was in, where did I find it here? She was in Dames at Sea. Well, I would have seen her then. And Last of the Red Hot Lovers and Gypsy. Real pretty girl. And here she disappeared very suddenly, just dropped out of sight. Nobody's seen her and haven't heard anything from her. And said she evidently didn't go of her own accord, because she only had the clothes that she was wearing, and nothing has been, she didn't take anything with it. So I think that was a few days ago. First of the week, I guess they had that in the paper. And nothing else has been said about it since, so suspect foul play, of course. I hope to goodness she's all right. But I didn't know whether you would have known her or not. And what else is new? Oh, Bob sent me some tapes, and then he, that is empty tapes, as soon as after he got home. And then he sent me a tape yesterday, and it was supposed to be a quiet New Year's Eve at the CRs. And he started out, he said the children were all out somewhere, one babysitting, one to a party, and I forget where Bob was, the movie. So he and Mickey were there alone waiting for Guy Lombardo to come on. And he said Mickey went to sleep at 11:30. So then he said, and then at 12 o'clock, and then he started playing all these old, as if a crowd, some old record he must have, and where a crowd came in, just sounded like, you know, they came in the front. He said something about, oh, here comes our neighbors in the front door. So the rest of the tape was all these old songs, you know, well, like they used to play up at Shakey's, you know, on the piano, this old ragtime stuff. So I'm afraid I'm going to get involved in a lot of tape recording if I just get onto it without snapping it off and on so much. So that's that. Gene called. They thought they were going to have a strike at the oil company this last Wednesday. I think they were supposed to, but they got that settled, so they didn't. And I'm glad of that because he was going to have to ride shotgun for the truck drivers. They bring men in from other cities, I guess, and have them drive these trucks. They get the trucks out before the men go on strike, and they did that, I think it was last year. Then Gene would have to go along, I think, either in the truck or drive his car ahead of the truck or something like that to deliver. They bring the oil up from, or the gas up from some other town anyhow out of Toledo. So I was glad that was resolved without any strike and trouble. Gene said he didn't care if he'd work 6 days a week and he'd get time and a half. And I said, well, the money won't do you any good if you get shot at or get shot. So that was that. And Dave, I suppose you knew Mr. Breiner died. I think he was a little before your time, though, President Schiff, but he died this last week. And there's a big article in the paper today about the big GF sales hit their record 100 million this year. I haven't read the whole article. I'll send it to you later on. General Motors, Gary worked his last day yesterday till he doesn't know when or if ever. So, of course, Jan, she's bemoaning the fact that she's going to send him into the Air Force. I don't know why the Air Force. Says, well, he'll have to, whatever job he gets, he'll have to make as much money as he's making now for us to get along. Well, I do feel sorry that he's out of work, but I think they'll manage some way. The nurses are still on strike. It's really a sad situation. When we went up to see Catherine that night, it just seemed kind of eerie that I think they have all the patients on about two floors. That was at the north side. And so few nurses in the halls were so quiet. Oh, it just didn't seem right. But they seem to be taking care of the ones that really need care. I know Catherine said she got along all right, except the food. They were giving her the wrong kind of food for what she could eat. But I think she was getting good care anyway. The mediator's coming in Wednesday again to try to get them together. But I surely must be almost to the end of this side of the tape. I'm surprised how long it runs. But I think I've told you all the news. Well, let's see, Don's, Bev and Beth stopped yesterday. They'd been out at the mall. And Bev said her foot's getting, well, she said, did you ever have hot flashes in your foot after you got your cast off? And I laughed at her. She said, well, I'm just having hot flashes in my foot. She said it didn't really hurt, but when they had took the cast off, the doctor told her to come back, that it wasn't entirely healed, and for her to come back in 6 weeks, which I thought sounded kind of funny. And she, you know, I thought it was all right, but I don't know what she means by having hot flashes. And I said, I never heard of that in a foot, but I hope that nothing wrong there. I got a few good pictures of the wedding. Talked to Arlene a week ago, and she said the newlyweds had called them the night before, and they were in their apartment back in California. They'd had a good trip. forgive me all these bangs when I'm stopping and starting, but I mumble over some of my sentences and then I try to erase it, and I hope I do better as I get used to this recording business. And one thing, Mary, I thought I didn't get to talk to you about your work in the theater when you were here, so you can talk some of that to me on your next tape, and I look forward to your next tape. Time for my midnight snack now, so I'll sign off. Guess what it's going to be? Piece of cherry pie. As I said before, I think this is about the end of the tape. And yet I see here that it's 90, and that must be 90 on one side. I thought it was only 45 on one side and 45 on the other. So we have some space left, and I have a guest in my home this evening now. This is Monday evening. So I have a guest here that would like to speak to you for a few minutes. You can guess who it is.
Okay. Graham and I are sitting here between going out to lunch at a restaurant and going out to dinner at a restaurant, and we have about 45 minutes to go before it's time to eat again. So we're sitting around, and she said that I should say hello to you. I'm really sorry I missed you, Uncle Dave and Aunt Mary and Carol too. I was hoping to see you while you were here, but it seemed like all the aunts and uncles were in and out between the times we were in and out. So I guess it'll be a while again till we get to see you. If Uncle Dave's coming out, make sure he stops in, and Aunt Mary too. Graham, I was listening to your tape before, and you said that you are going to a lot of places in Washington. Make sure if you get a chance to go to the Folger Shakespeare Library that's in Washington, D.C. It's the best Shakespeare library in the world, and it has even a first folio of Shakespeare. There's very few of them in existence, and I think it would be a really interesting place to spend an afternoon. Also, right in Bethesda, they have the National Library of Medicine, which is probably the most automated library in the world, and that might be quite interesting to see. As you can tell, I'm very library motivated ever since I started school, and Grandma's been showing me a lot of her old books here. Anyhow, Graham and I have been sitting here half the evening looking at these old books, and some of them are really quite interesting. I think I was particularly interested in looking at them because one of the courses I'll be taking next semester is children's literature, and hopefully I'll be able to take it again the following semester. And they go into quite a bit of detail on the progression of children's books since the early 17th century all the way up until the modern one. So it should be a fairly interesting course. Well, I guess that's enough about school. I won't be going back until next Saturday, but from what I hear from Jim, it's been raining ever since he got back, so I don't know. A week from Saturday on the 25th. But from what Jim says, it's been raining ever since he got back, so I don't know what's worse, this old gray snow or the nice clear rain out there.
Pretty white snow.
Grandma says it's pretty white snow here, but what little you have of it in the winter time. But it will be nice to get back and get back into school, because I don't even know if I'll remember what I learned the first semester anyhow. Well, Grandma's sitting here, and I think she wants to go to Fran's. She's getting herself a nice big ice cream sundae. I'm going to take her to Fran's now that she's had her dinner. So I guess I better go. I really feel badly that we didn't get to see you, but hopefully you can get out to San Francisco sometime, and we'll get to see you shortly.
Yay, Steelers!
Well, I asked her to say a few words, and you see what happened. And she's on her way now to Cleveland to pick up Marty and George from their trip to the Super Bowl game. She's gone up by herself, and it's snowing out, but I guess she'll make it all right. Now it's bedtime, and I guess it's time. I surely have used up 90 minutes now on tape, so I think it's time to say goodnight from a snowy Poland.